The 7052nd meeting of the Security Council is resumed. In accordance with Rule 37 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite the representative of the Sudan to participate in this meeting. It is so decided. I wish to remind all speakers to limit their statements to no more than 4 minutes in order to enable the Council to carry out its work expeditiously. Delegations with lengthy statements are kindly requested to circulate the text in writing and to deliver a condensed version when speaking in the chamber. I now give the floor to the representative of Ukraine.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to thank you for holding this important meeting and to congratulate you with the successful Security Council presidency of Azerbaijan. Ukraine considers effectiveness and efficiency of the Council, coupled with its openness and transparency, as the pillars of the overall activity of this body. Therefore, we broadly share the priorities for today's debate, stemming from the concept paper, namely, strengthening Council's transparency, enhancing its interaction with non-Council members, other UN bodies, and regional and sub-regional organizations, ensuring more informative and analytical annual reporting to the General Assembly. We welcome Council's continuous efforts aimed at streamlining and improving its own procedure, as showcased by the 2010 presidential note under discussion today. Among such positive steps during 2013, I would like to point out increasing number of public meetings, active revisiting of the practice of wrap-up sessions and monthly informal briefings at the end of presidencies, resorting more often to the use of video and teleconferencing services. There are still a number of significant issues to be addressed, among which is Institute of Veto in the Security Council. Ukraine supports the necessity of creating conditions leading to the gradual reduction of the use of veto. In this regard, we took note with interest of the relevant proposal by France. In our view, such an initiative, along with other positive developments in the domain of working methods, demonstrates a potential for ambitious changes originating inside the Council in line with the Article 30 of the UN Charter. Mr. President, fully cognizant that the Council is the master of its own procedure, Ukraine believes that this body can benefit by taking on board, as it deems necessary, innovative ideas of the wider UN membership as envisaged by Article 10 of the UN Charter. The same relates to the accommodation of legitimate concerns of non-Council members. Let me recall the long-standing position of Ukraine as to the necessity to give a stronger voice in the Council decision-making process to those UN member states directly involved in implementation of its decisions. First and foremost, it should apply to the troop and police contributing countries. From our experience of active participation in US peacekeeping, we see the continuous need to adjust the timing of Council decisions on extensions of mandates of peace operation so as not to put relevant TCCs and PCCs in difficult position. Taking such decisions whenever feasible, well in advance of the target date, would provide TCCs and PCCs with more time to bring the new or extended Council's mandates in line with their national legislation. It concerns especially those countries who, like Ukraine, by law require Parliament's approval of deployment of their peacekeeping contingents. Ukraine welcomes the emphasis of the presidency of Azerbaijan on strengthening partnership synergy between the Council and regional and sub-regional organizations, as evidenced by yesterday's high-level briefing by Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Mr. President, commitment to the strong, effective, efficient, and transparent Security Council was the cornerstone of Ukraine's only tenure in this body as an independent state in 2000-2001. It is in keeping with and building on this tradition that we intend to serve in the Council in case of Ukraine's election as its non-permanent member for the term 2016-2017. I thank you.
I thank the representative of Ukraine for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Liechtenstein.
Thank you, Mr. President. Liechtenstein is a member of the ACT Group and aligns itself with the statement delivered by Switzerland. We would now like to raise a few specific points relating to the Council's work on accountability and the veto from a working methods perspective. Mr. President, during last year, the Council has made some progress in improving its interaction with the International Criminal Court and on related issues. Last October's open debate on peace and justice was a good opportunity for the wider membership to express its views on the Council's relations to this key institution of international criminal justice. The informal interactive dialogue between the Council and the ICC prosecutor is also a useful format, allowing for a more fluid exchange of information and a less limited conversation. While we welcome these events and we thank the delegations that have initiated them, we are disappointed about the lack of follow-up. As often seems to be the case in the workings of the Council, positive innovations are difficult to institutionalize. The Council began this year well by expressing its commitment to effectively follow up to issues of cooperation with international tribunals, including the ICC. Unfortunately, though, the Council has not lived up to this promise so far. The Council still lacks a proper forum for interaction with the ICC and on related issues. 1 year ago, together with Costa Rica and Jordan, we had encouraged the creation of a new subsidiary body or the retasking of the informal working group on tribunals. Since then, the need for such a platform has only become more pressing as requests to the Council relating to ICC issues are in the headlines on a daily basis. Partially due to this shortcoming, the Council has also again failed to take up the Court's decisions of non-cooperation in the Darfur situation. Failure by the Council to effectively follow up to its own referrals undermines the credibility of both bodies. We have seen the recent request by Kenya that the Security Council defer the cases in the Kenya situation for 12 months, pursuant to Article 12 of the Rome Statute, an issue that will be taken up by the Council shortly. This should remind us of the need to revisit the Council's working methods in dealing with such requests. The Council's decision-making process on Article 16 deferrals should be informed and made on the basis of a thorough discussion involving all stakeholders. The implementation of Article 16 of the Rome Statute is as much a concern of all states' parties to the statute as it is of the members of the Council. We therefore encourage the Security Council to enter into a dialogue with states' parties, especially on the question of criteria to be considered in deciding whether to defer cases before the ICC. Mr. President, the situation in Syria, now in its third year, has laid bare this Council's shortcomings. The Council has been unable to play its role on nearly all issues save for that of chemical weapons. And while we appreciate the efforts of Luxembourg and Australia in drafting the recent PRST on the humanitarian situation in Syria, we regret that the Council was not able to adopt a resolution on this topic. The Council has also failed in its responsibility to promote accountability for the war crimes and crimes against humanity that have been and continue to be perpetrated by all sides of this conflict. Liechtenstein was one of 58 states that had called on the Security Council to refer the situation in Syria to the ICC. 9 months later, we are still waiting for the Council to take this issue up. Mr. President, the Syria crisis also best illustrates that the use of the veto and the extensive threat of its use continues to stymie its work. The veto as such is part and parcel of the Charter of the United Nations, which we have all ratified. But it is essential that it not be used contrary to the very purposes and principles contained in that charter, and that a minimum of accountability be provided in this respect. We have repeatedly called on the permanent members to commit to refraining from the use of the veto in situations involving genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes. We welcome the initiative by France to bring this topic to the attention of the international community. Now is the time to make concrete progress towards such a code of conduct. We look forward to discussions among the permanent members on this suggestion and will continue to work through the ACT group to contribute to its success. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Liechtenstein for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Chile.
Señor Presidente, como muchos Estados miembros de esta organización, Chile sigue el tema de los métodos de trabajo del Consejo de Seguridad con especial interés, convencido de que su transparencia e inclusividad contribuirá a fortalecer la capacidad y legitimidad de este órgano principal, en consecuencia de esta organización. Este interés se traduce en nuestra participación en el grupo ACT, cuya intervención pronunciada por el representante de Suiza hacemos nuestra. Agradecemos este debate abierto organizado por Azerbaiyán, el cuarto consecutivo en el que se organiza un debate abierto anual sobre esta materia. Ciertamente, ello contribuye a consolidar una práctica que, confiamos, continuará en el futuro. Señor Presidente, la transparencia y la inclusividad de los trabajos del Consejo son los objetivos que deberían guiar el examen de los métodos de trabajo. Valoramos la adopción de la nota presidencial S/2013/515 bajo la presidencia de Argentina y los compromisos recogidos en ella de utilizar y reforzar las herramientas y mecanismos a favor de la transparencia y una mejor coordinación con otros órganos de la organización. La práctica de sostener la mayor cantidad de sesiones públicas y abiertas, diálogos oficiosos e interactivos y reuniones de fórmula arria contribuye tanto a la legitimidad de los trabajos del Consejo como a su calidad, toda vez que el Consejo puede beneficiarse al conocer la diversidad de posiciones y visiones de los países miembros de las Naciones Unidas. Creemos que aún queda espacio para aprovechar mejor las visiones presentadas en estas instancias. Por ejemplo, a través de una programación de trabajo que permita al Consejo conocer estas posiciones antes de proceder a emprender negociaciones y a la adopción de documentos sobre las materias en cuestión. Resaltamos la complementariedad de la labor de las organizaciones regionales y subregionales con la que efectúa Naciones Unidas y, en particular, este Consejo. En este sentido, destacamos el debate abierto de alto nivel sobre esta materia, sostenido el 6 de agosto pasado, que incluyó, además de la participación de altas autoridades de nuestra región, presentaciones de CELAC y UNASUR. El Consejo debería seguir profundizando las consultas y la cooperación con las organizaciones regionales y subregionales pertinentes, en línea con la distribución de funciones previstas en el capítulo 8 de la Carta. La nota S/2013/515 también aborda la coordinación con otros órganos de la organización, incluyendo en el ámbito de la consolidación de la paz. Esta materia es de particular relevancia por la necesidad de fortalecer la coherencia y evitar duplicaciones entre distintos órganos. Potenciar el trabajo conjunto con la Comisión de Consolidación de la Paz, incluyendo la participación de su presidente y a los presidentes de las distintas configuraciones, según corresponda, en las distintas sesiones del Consejo, es un paso importante. Creemos que el Grupo de Trabajo sobre Operaciones de Paz podría ampliar su alcance para considerar también la consolidación de la paz, estableciendo vínculos con los actores relevantes en este ámbito. La consideración de situaciones concretas de consolidación de la paz se llevaría a cabo solo cuando el grupo de trabajo lo estimare necesario. Esta medida permitiría el establecimiento de una relación de trabajo entre las instancias que abordan estos dos temas estrechamente vinculados, avanzando a la vez en lo requerido durante el proceso de revisión de la Comisión de Consolidación de la Paz, de establecer un diálogo más fluido e informal con el Consejo de Seguridad. Asimismo, se podría explorar fortalecer la interacción con los grupos ad hoc del ECOSOC que sean relevantes para el trabajo de este Consejo. Un elemento fundamental para lograr una mayor inclusividad y transparencia es la disponibilidad y fácil acceso a la documentación del Consejo. Reconocemos los avances logrados en esta materia a través de los contenidos disponibles en la página en Internet del Consejo, incluyendo antecedentes relativos al programa mensual de trabajo y el repertorio de la práctica, y valoramos los esfuerzos de la Secretaría en este ámbito. Señor Presidente, estimamos que el Consejo de Seguridad debería continuar utilizando todos los medios a su alcance para recabar información relacionada con la implementación de sus resoluciones. En el ámbito de las reuniones informativas de las comisiones y órganos de la investigación creadas por las Naciones Unidas que estudian las situaciones que figuran en su programa, instamos al Consejo a explorar mecanismos que permitan reforzar su interactividad, privilegiando la oportunidad para recabar mayores antecedentes sobre la temática en cuestión. Por último, señor Presidente, quisiera recordar la intervención del Presidente de Chile en el reciente debate general de la Asamblea General, en el que se sumó a los llamados para que los países que tienen el derecho a veto se abstengan de utilizarlo en situaciones de crímenes contra la humanidad, crímenes de guerra, genocidio o limpieza étnica. Asimismo, propuso dejar atrás la lógica de los vetos para reemplazarla por una lógica de quórums especiales para que sus decisiones más relevantes, que inevitablemente nos afectan a todos, sean adoptados por mayorías amplias, contundentes y representativas de la comunidad de naciones. Muchas gracias, señor Presidente.
I thank the representative of Chile for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Thank you, Mr. President. At the outset, I would like to thank you for convening open debate on the important issue of working methods of the Security Council. This is the fourth open debate organized with the aim to further discuss the implementation of the presidential note S/2010/507, as well as to address the issue of common concern and benefit regarding the improvement of working methods of the Security Council. I would like to use this opportunity to thank Her Excellency Ambassador Maria Cristina Paisafal for her briefing today and her able stewardship as the chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions. Mr. President, as the former chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions of the Security Council, Bosnia and Herzegovina has built upon the efforts of previous chairs to further promote the transparency and efficiency of the Security Council's work, including the implementation of Presidential Note 507. As a chair, we have particularly promoted and raised the issue of periodicity of reporting and mandate cycles in order to create, or better, to redistribute more evenly and efficiently the Council annual workload. The subsequent chair of the informal working group have continued these efforts, and that this redistribution launched in December 2011 has continued throughout 2012 and 2013, since the full cycle of redistribution needs 18 months to implement. Taking into account the calls for enhanced cooperation by the general membership, Bosnia and Herzegovina has raised the issue of further increasing the transparency of the Council's work and has suggested to the members of the informal working group to consider the idea of holding regular briefings on Security Council working methods for non-Council member states. We were and are of the view that such exercise can be of common benefit. Therefore, we commend the end of presidency wrap-up sessions and invite the Council members to further intensify informal forms of dialogue with non-members, particularly in a form of area formal meetings. we call upon the Council members to fulfill their commitments stated in the Presidential Note S/2013-515, such as to maintain regular communication with Peace Building Commission and the chairs of the country-specific configurations, enhance cooperation with regional and sub-regional organizations, encourage the subsidiary bodies to enhance the transparency of their activities. We encourage further improvement with regard to briefings and consultations by the Council with troop and police contributing countries as to implement peacekeeping mandates more effectively. Mr. President, mindful of the Council's responsibility in maintaining international peace and security, Bosnia and Herzegovina, having had the experience of the membership in the Security Council 2010-2011, recognizes that for sake of the efficiency at a certain early sensitive stage of resolving an issue, there is a need for closed consultations among Security Council members before sharing the views and information with the general membership of the United Nations. However, we have to express our concern with regard to a recent setback in transparency of the Council's work and even within the Council itself. Bosnia and Herzegovina has always been an advocate of Council's efficiency and accountability as well as of the transparency. Mr. President, in closing, please allow me to reiterate the position of Bosnia and Herzegovina that the improvement of the working methods of the Security Council should not be seen as an inherent part of the overall reform of the Council, namely the increase of the permanent and non-permanent seats. Working methods must improve notwithstanding the Security Council's reform process. We remain committed to continue our engagement together with the members of the Security Council and the non-members. Our general membership initiatives and dialogue in view of improving efficiency, transparency, and interactivity of the work of the Security Council for the common benefit. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Bosnia and Herzegovina for her statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Uruguay.
Gracias, señor presidente. Quiero felicitar a la misión permanente de Azerbaiyán por convocar este debate abierto. Uruguay adhiere a la intervención realizada por la delegación de Suiza en nombre del Grupo ACT y como integrante de dicho grupo me permitiré destacar algunos aspectos específicos sobre los métodos de trabajo relacionados con el mantenimiento de la paz, los cuales son compartidos por los miembros del ACT. Las operaciones de mantenimiento de la paz de Naciones Unidas son esenciales para el mantenimiento de la paz y la seguridad internacional, así como para ayudar a los países a hacer la transición entre el conflicto y la paz sostenible. Estas operaciones dependen de una particular asociación entre el Consejo de Seguridad, la Secretaría y la membresía amplia de la organización, en especial los países contribuyentes de tropas y policía, en adelante TCCs y PCCs. Para ser efectiva, esta relación necesita ser bien preservada. La cooperación triangular entre el Consejo, la Secretaría y los TCCs y PCCs resulta crucial en este sentido, mientras que aumentar la calidad de esta interacción, tornándola consistentemente dinámica y sustantiva, continúa siendo un desafío. El contexto actual de mandatos más complejos y robustos, situaciones cada vez más riesgosas, recursos limitados y altas expectativas suponen desafíos considerables para las operaciones de mantenimiento de la paz y hacen de los métodos de trabajo, incluyendo un involucramiento significativo con los TCCs y PCCs, algo más importante aún. Señor Presidente, luego de un análisis preliminar de esta materia, una de las primeras conclusiones a las que los miembros de ACT han arribado es que el problema no está en la falta de herramientas o disposiciones acordadas, sino en el hecho de que éstas, tal vez, no hayan sido utilizadas de manera regular y consistente. La Carta de Naciones Unidas, resoluciones del Consejo de Seguridad, en particular la resolución 1353-2001 y diferentes declaraciones de la Presidencia, establecen o hacen referencia a varios de estos mecanismos, incluyendo disposiciones sobre consultas tempranas con TCCs a celebrarse con anterioridad al establecimiento o renovación de los mandatos, reuniones ad hoc en cualquier etapa a solicitud de los TCCs, intercambio de información, discusiones temáticas. Sin embargo, existe amplio espacio para mejorar la utilización de estos instrumentos. Ciertamente, el Grupo de Trabajo del Consejo de Seguridad sobre Operaciones de Mantenimiento de la Paz es una de las herramientas disponibles que es clave para mejorar la interacción entre aquellos que establecen los mandatos y aquellos que los implementan, así como para fortalecer la cooperación triangular. A este respecto, los miembros de ACT felicitan a la misión permanente de Pakistán, presidente de dicho grupo de trabajo, por convocar en el curso de los últimos meses tres discusiones temáticas abiertas a los TCCs y PCCs vinculadas a algunas cuestiones sensibles y a la vez críticas, tales como seguridad y protección, el uso de tecnologías modernas y transiciones y repliegues en las operaciones de mantenimiento de la paz. El Grupo ACT alienta a continuar con el desarrollo y utilización de esta importante herramienta, abordando cuestiones temáticas relevantes, así como reuniones sobre misiones específicas, abiertas a TCCs y PCCs. La oportunidad y el formato de las consultas con los TCCs son otros aspectos importantes en los cuales los miembros de ACT entienden que se han concretado mejoras, aunque es posible obtener más resultados. Por ejemplo, a través de un incremento en la regularidad y previsibilidad en la convocatoria de consultas tempranas con TCCs antes de la creación o renovación de los mandatos. Asimismo, la posibilidad de convocar reuniones ad hoc en cualquier etapa a pedido de un TCC o PCC para abordar preocupaciones de actualidad deberían ser una realidad, especialmente en aquellos casos en que la seguridad y la protección de los peacekeepers está en riesgo. Asimismo, todos los actores involucrados deberían trabajar con miras a un proceso de consultas más interactivo y sustantivo. Los métodos de trabajo juegan un papel importante a este respecto. El momento y la apertura del intercambio de información, incluyendo el acceso a los informes del secretario general, de manera oportuna, constituye un ingrediente clave a fin de lograr una preparación adecuada para dichas consultas. Ambientes más informales, en los cuales los actores relevantes puedan intercambiar sus puntos de vista sobre una misión en particular, pueden también contribuir significativamente a un mejor entendimiento de las principales preocupaciones existentes y la búsqueda de soluciones. Oportunidades para escuchar directamente la perspectiva del terreno continúa siendo una herramienta sumamente útil y valiosa que debería ser usada tan seguido como sea posible. Señor Presidente, estos son algunos ejemplos de cómo los métodos de trabajo pueden continuar mejorando la calidad de las discusiones y eventualmente los resultados de las mismas, que tienen que ver con el mantenimiento de la paz y que tienen lugar en el marco del Consejo de Seguridad. En este sentido, los miembros de ACT le dan la bienvenida a la reciente nota de la Presidencia del Consejo S-2013-630 sobre la mejora de las consultas con los TCCs y PCCs, la cual está en línea con las ideas y objetivos que ACT promueve. Los miembros de ACT continuarán estando disponibles y dispuestos a involucrarse en un diálogo constructivo sobre esta materia. Muchas gracias, señor Presidente.
I thank the representative of Uruguay for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Costa Rica.
Muchas gracias, señor Presidente. Costa Rica agradece a Azerbaiyán por la organización de este debate. Mi delegación se adhiere a la presentación realizada por Suiza en nombre de los 22 estados miembros del Grupo ACT. A la vez, deseamos aportar algunos elementos adicionales en nuestro carácter nacional. Señor presidente, la premisa establecida en el artículo 24 de la Carta, según la cual los estados miembros reconocen que el Consejo de Seguridad actúa a nombre de ellos, debe aplicarse en doble vía. Los estados miembros de la organización, en efecto, debemos reconocer que el Consejo actúa en nuestro nombre, pero a la vez el Consejo debe demostrar que lo hace en tal sentido. Esta responsabilidad es particularmente importante para sus 5 miembros permanentes. Vivimos una época en que la transparencia de los procesos de toma de decisión y la rendición de cuentas de los representantes ante los representados se erigen en principios cada vez más sólidos de las organizaciones independientemente de su naturaleza. La nota 507 y su actualización en 2010 y la nota 515 de agosto de este año marcan hitos importantes en la historia del Consejo de Seguridad, sobre todo en el ámbito de la transparencia. Hoy es un momento oportuno para reconocer la labor de Argentina en la presidencia del Grupo de Trabajo Oficioso sobre Documentación y otras cuestiones de procedimiento. También lo es para dar la bienvenida a la nota 630 de la presidencia adoptada ayer. Señor presidente, la nota 507 recogió muchas de las preocupaciones de la membresía de esta organización y resolvió algunas de ellas, al menos conceptualmente. Con posterioridad a su adopción, se han producido importantes avances en transparencia y rendimiento de cuentas. Sin embargo, el examen de la práctica del Consejo también permite concluir que subsiste el reto de la implementación consistente de los acuerdos y reglas adoptadas. Para Costa Rica, por ejemplo, el Consejo debería interesarse aún más en los insumos que pueden suministrar quienes tienen un legítimo interés o van a ser afectados por sus decisiones. Pese a acuerdos en esta dirección, la práctica revela aún carencias importantes. Igualmente, debe existir una comunicación más diáfana y directa del Consejo con sus partes y con el resto de la organización. Otro tema que merece mayor atención es el carácter público de las acciones del Consejo. Se ha avanzado ciertamente en el número de reuniones públicas, pero aún estamos lejos del espíritu de la norma que establece la regla de que toda reunión es pública a menos que se decida expresamente lo contrario. Sin duda hay situaciones que exigen el máximo de discreción, pero discrepamos de una práctica que ha invertido en los hechos el texto de la norma. La Secretaría tiene el deber de facilitar la transparencia y la rendición de cuentas, presentando como primera opción en la propuesta de programa de trabajo que prepara para cada presidencia formatos abiertos para todas las reuniones. Corresponde a los miembros del Consejo argumentar y convencer a manera de excepción sobre la utilización de un formato privado. Al hacer estas consideraciones, me es grato informar que Estonia y Costa Rica lideran y coordinan un subgrupo en el marco de ACT para promover la transparencia en el Consejo de Seguridad. Entre nuestras recomendaciones en tal sentido, destaco las siguientes. Primero, promover la adopción de un plan de acción para aplicar la nota presidencial 507-2010 en el marco del Grupo de Trabajo Oficioso sobre la Documentación y otras cuestiones de procedimiento. Segundo, continuar impulsando la transparencia en la preparación del informe anual del Consejo de Seguridad a la Asamblea General al involucrar a los Estados miembros en un debate informal e interactivo, tanto en el momento de su redacción como en el de su presentación a la Asamblea. Tercero, en la medida de lo posible, la presentación de la información por funcionarios de la organización al Consejo debe ser accesible a todos los miembros, mientras que las consultas a partir de entonces se pueden mantener en el ámbito privado si es necesario. Cuarto, Costa Rica desea destacar también la importancia de la resolución sobre misiones políticas especiales, SPM, que se discute en el marco de la Cuarta Comisión y que tiene como uno de sus objetivos mejorar la transparencia. Creemos que en el campo de la SPM, la transparencia no debe ni puede limitarse a los intercambios entre la Secretaría y los Estados miembros. Esa transparencia debe incluir como actor al Consejo de Seguridad, cuya importancia se demuestra en el simple hecho de que es el Consejo el que decide la inmensa mayoría de los mandatos de las misiones políticas especiales. Alentamos al Consejo de Seguridad a continuar mejorando la información a los Estados miembros sobre esas misiones políticas especiales. Concluyo afirmando, señor presidente, que la aplicación de la nota 507 exige el compromiso sostenido de todos los miembros del Consejo y la participación activa de la Asamblea General. Esta importante sesión, convocada por Azerbaiyán, representa un gran paso en la dirección correcta. Muchas gracias.
I thank the representative of Costa Rica for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of New Zealand.
Thank you, Mr. President. New Zealand will deliver a shortened version of the circulated statement, if you don't mind. We thank Azerbaijan for convening this important debate. We congratulate Ambassador Percival on her chairmanship of the informal working group, and we note, Mr. President, that this debate has become an annual fixture in this council's program. Having said that, we think that once a year is not enough, that working methods are too important to be relegated to an annual discussion. In the past 12 months, we've seen occasions when better working methods might have improved the quality and effectiveness of outcomes. The Council's engagement with TCCs while establishing the Force Intervention Brigade in MONUSCO could have been much better. Its slow reaction to unfolding political, security, and humanitarian crises in Mali and in the Central African Republic are further examples. But we are pleased, Mr. President, to observe some minor but positive changes. Note S2013515 will be a useful aid to transparency. Wrap-up sessions are now convened with greater frequency following Pakistan's lead in January. Last week's briefings, direct from Addis Ababa and Entebbe, were an obvious improvement on the use of technology. But much more must be done to enable the Council more effectively to perform its most neglected charter responsibilities, those under Chapter 6 concerning conflict prevention and peaceful settlement of disputes. As New Zealand stressed in this debate last year, Mr. President, preventive measures are less costly in terms of resources and lives than peacekeeping or peace enforcement, and are more likely to deliver lasting outcomes addressing the root causes of conflict. The Council's attempts over the past year at the better fulfilment of its preventive function by resurrecting horizon scanning was an important recognition of a problem that must be addressed. We do recognise, however, Mr. President, that some states do have concerns about that format. We have a very open mind on the name, the format and the modalities, which for us are much less important than the underlying purpose of enabling the Council to look ahead and assess emerging threats to international peace and security, thus facilitating early and effective responses in supporting or leading mediation and conflict prevention measures. The case of Syria graphically underlines what happens when there's insufficient attention to emerging situations at early stages. New Zealand also emphasises that it's not just the Security Council itself which has responsibility for better using the available tools to facilitate effective preventive action by this Council. Article 99 of the Charter allows the Secretary General to bring emerging threats to the Council's attention, a power that should be used more often. Mr. Chairman, the Council's monthly program of work might be a useful aid to transparency, as was just emphasised by Costa Rica. But it must not become a procedural fetter on the ability of the Secretary General or Council members to discharge their charter responsibilities to prevent conflict. Discussions on emerging crises are often going to be very sensitive and are therefore not always best suited to formal council meetings. And that reality could also be better reflected in the council's working methods. In that same context, it's necessary to find better ways to engage with the states concerned. New Zealand also sees potential for a greater role for council subsidiary bodies, particularly the Ad Hoc Working Group on Conflict Prevention and Resolution in Africa, to help facilitate more active council roles in conflict prevention. This could involve a greater focus on the working group, by the working group, on sub-regional or country-specific challenges, or acting as a mechanism for more meaningful interaction on conflict analysis and preventive initiatives between the council and regional and sub-regional organisations. Similarly, Mr. President, advances in working methods are needed to address wide concerns held outside this council about its working partnership with regional and sub-regional organisations. They have an inherent advantage in identifying emerging threats. They are better placed for early threat identification. They often know the players, and they have a greater stake, Mr. President, in preventing conflict. The Council would be much better placed to respond to such threats if it has improved processes for engagement with regional organisations, and we strongly urge that. Mr. President, much of what we achieve at the UN relies on momentum. So we encourage Council members to take to heart the many messages from today's debate. The range of issues raised by member states indicates our widespread interest and concern about working methods. We know that that engagement takes time. We know that it takes energy. But given the challenges and the expectations of today's world, real and substantial change is needed in the way in which this council functions, if it's to deliver on its responsibilities, and that's what New Zealand urges today.
I thank the representative of New Zealand for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Belgium.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Monsieur le Président, j'ai l'honneur de m'adresser au Conseil de sécurité au nom du Royaume des Pays-Bas et du Royaume de Belgique. Tout d'abord, je souhaiterais remercier l'Azerbaïdjan en tant que président du Conseil d'avoir organisé ce débat et d'avoir préparé une excellente note conceptuelle. Les Pays-Bas et la Belgique attachent une grande importance à ce débat public. Ils donnent aux autres membres des Nations Unies l'occasion d'interagir avec le Conseil de sécurité sur un thème qui ne constitue pas qu'une affaire de procédure interne, mais qui a un profond impact sur la façon dont nous nous efforçons de faire fonctionner l'organisation universelle qui est la nôtre. Il faut reconnaître dès le départ que de réels progrès ont été accomplis au cours des dernières années. Les Pays-Bas et la Belgique tiennent à féliciter à cet égard tant les membres permanents que les membres élus successifs du Conseil. Les engagements mentionnés dans la note du président du Conseil de sécurité du mois d'août dernier méritent non seulement notre appréciation, mais aussi d'être rapidement mis en œuvre. Malgré cela, des progrès supplémentaires dans l'amélioration des méthodes de travail du Conseil de sécurité sont souhaitables. Ils aideraient à renforcer la responsabilité du Conseil vis-à-vis des autres États membres et à améliorer encore davantage la transparence, la légitimité et la mise en œuvre effective de ces décisions. Monsieur le Président, la note conceptuelle préparée pour cette réunion contient un aperçu intéressant des travaux et des événements récents sur les méthodes de travail du Conseil de sécurité. Elle liste un nombre de bonnes suggestions dont les Pays-Bas et la Belgique sont heureux de soutenir la grande majorité. Nous souhaiterions toutefois attirer l'attention sur quelques idées spécifiques. Premièrement, nous apprécions le fait que les présidents des configurations par pays de la Commission de consolidation de la paix soient invités à informer le Conseil lorsque celui-ci examine la situation de leur pays respectif. Toutefois, nous sommes convaincus que les travaux du Conseil tireraient profit d'une participation des présidents des configurations par pays de la CCP aux consultations privées, beaucoup plus interactives, qui font en général suite aux briefings publics. Deuxièmement, nous nous félicitons de la tenue de sessions récapitulatives mensuelles, ce qu'on appelle en anglais les wrap-up sessions, mais nous sommes d'avis qu'elles pourraient être beaucoup plus interactives, elles aussi, et dès lors offrir l'occasion d'une évaluation basée sur une approche plus analytique. Troisièmement, nous félicitons le Royaume-Uni et l'Australie pour l'organisation d'un débat prospectif, Horizon Scanning, au début de leur présidence. Les Pays-Bas et la Belgique sont favorables à l'idée de tenir, sur la base de cet acquis, des débats prospectifs qui pourraient faire partie intégrante de nos efforts en matière de diplomatie préventive. Nous encourageons donc les autres membres du Conseil à tenir ces débats prospectifs sur une base régulière. Quatrièmement, la coopération entre les Nations Unies et les organisations régionales compétentes en matière de paix et de sécurité s'est largement améliorée et diversifiée, et nous en félicitons aussi le Conseil de sécurité. Les organisations régionales devraient toutefois pouvoir être entendues plus souvent encore au Conseil, non seulement sur des questions thématiques, mais aussi lors de l'examen des situations de pays dans lesquelles elles sont impliquées. De plus, les relations entre le Conseil et les institutions à caractère juridique, telles que la Cour internationale de justice et la Cour permanente d'arbitrage, pourraient s'intensifier, étant donné le rôle que ces dernières peuvent jouer en matière de prévention et de résolution des conflits. Enfin, les Pays-Bas et la Belgique seraient favorables à ce que soient notifiées plus tôt certaines options examinées par le Conseil, lorsque celles-ci peuvent avoir des conséquences budgétaires qui affectent tous les États membres. À cet égard, nous pensons en particulier au coût des opérations de maintien de la paix. Monsieur le Président, comme je l'ai dit, les Pays-Bas et la Belgique apprécient les efforts déjà réalisés pour améliorer les méthodes de travail du Conseil. Les idées proposées dans votre note conceptuelle méritent encore un examen approfondi. Nous comptons sur les membres du Conseil de sécurité, en particulier ses membres permanents, pour qu'ils joignent leurs efforts à ceux des autres États membres pour continuer à améliorer la transparence, la légitimité, l'efficacité et l'interactivité du Conseil de sécurité. Je vous remercie.
I thank the representative of Belgium for her statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Turkey.
Mr. President, I'd like to thank the Azerbaijani presidency for organizing this open debate on a subject that is of particular importance for the entire membership of the United Nations and for preparing and circulating the concept paper on the implementation of Note 507. This debate has been very timely in terms of readdressing the issues on the working matters of the Security Council, as we are fast approaching again a time of change in the membership of the Council. I would also like to express our appreciation to Ambassador Parseval for her work and efforts in her capacity as the chair of the informal working group. Mr. President, Turkey attaches great importance to the efforts to improve the Council's working methods, which is an important component of the comprehensive reform of the Council. We have long advocated that the Council is in need of a change in terms of its structure and representation, as well as its working methods. The world is constantly changing, and a number of developments unfold before our eyes with each passing day. That is why it is our sincere wish that the Council adapts itself to the current realities of the global political, security, and economic scene, as it is our common responsibility to maintain the credibility of this body. We should spare no effort to enhance its efficiency and transparency and work sincerely to ensure that its work is inclusive and effective. In that sense, Turkey welcomes the steps taken in recent years, particularly through the milestone presidential note S/2010/507 and the subsequent complementary notes. On the other hand, Mr. President, there is still much to be done in terms of the implementation of the measures set out in those notes. First and foremost, Turkey believes that the Council's dialogue with the non-Council members should be further improved. The entire membership expects more effective and frequent use of public meetings, informal interactive dialogues, and ARIA formula meetings. This will enable a better communication and interaction and provide more opportunity to the wider membership in order to have more focused involvement in the issues of common concern. As regards the enhancing the transparency of the Council, we welcome the recently increased use of wrap-up sessions and encourage all members of the Council to hold such meetings at the end of their presidencies. At the same time, we are cognizant of the need for the Council's own deliberations for decision-making. Second, we need a better structured dialogue and communication between the Council and other UN bodies and regional organizations. Regular and more substantive exchange of views among the Council, the General Assembly, the Economic and Social Council, as well as the Peacebuilding Commission, would not only enhance the efficiency of the UN system, but also augment the transparency, openness, and inclusiveness of the Council itself. We also think that the Council should expand its consultation and cooperation with other international and relevant regional organizations, such as the Peace and Security Council of the African Union, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and the League of Arab States. Third, we are of the view that the Council should make better use of measures under Chapter 6 of the UN Charter, without any prejudice to its right to mandating measures under Chapter 7, the Council, as the primary responsible organ of the UN in the maintenance of international peace and security, should give some thought to utilizing different ways of pacific settlement of disputes. In that sense, we welcome the horizon scanning briefings provided by the Secretariat. We believe that those briefings are important in terms of conflict prevention and wish to see that those meetings in all upcoming programs of the work of the Council. Finally, I'd like to touch upon an aspect related to the Council's internal practice, which is again of particular importance. While taking note of the Presidential Note S/2012/937, Turkey believes that the Council should act in due transparency and inclusivity in the appointment of the chairpersons of the subsidiary organs and the selection of the penholders. Mr. President, while fully acknowledging the positive developments related to the working methods of the Security Council, we believe that there is always room for further improvement. In the end, all esteemed members of the UN deserve a more democratic, more transparent, and more efficient Security Council, which we believe is also a requirement for maintaining the credibility of our organization, the United Nations. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Turkey for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Austria.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would like first to thank the Azerbaijani presidency for convening today's open debate. Austria aligns itself with the statement made earlier by Switzerland on behalf of the ACT group for the enhancement of the accountability, coherence, and transparency of the Security Council, issues that are extremely important to my delegation. As a member of the ACT group, Austria will now limit its intervention to two specific points. First, we believe that efforts to improve the working methods of the Council must also focus on strengthening the interaction between the Council and the UN membership at large. This applies particularly to UN peacekeeping missions, the UN's flagship activity. Resolution 1353 from 2001 and last week's presidential note on the enhancement of consultations with troop and police contributing countries provide, among other Council documents, a very good basis for an intensified engagement of the Council with TCCs and PCCs. We call on the Security Council to make more frequent and effective use of those already existing tools. It is the contributing countries who have their boots on the ground and who must implement the mandates of the missions. as practically all UN peacekeeping operations have become more challenging and multifaceted, the need for dialogue and information sharing has increased. TCCs and PCCs should be consulted both by the Secretariat, but also by the Council, not only on a regular, but particularly ad hoc and on short time notice. In light of sometimes rapidly evolving developments, the respective areas of operation have to be kept also in consideration. Mr. President, let me address a second point, which has been very dear to my delegation since many years, the rule of law. 13 months ago, UN members at the high-level meeting on the rule of law recognized the positive contribution of the Security Council to the rule of law while discharging its primary responsibility for the maintenance of international peace and security. At the same occasion, the General Assembly encouraged the Security Council first to ensure that sanctions imposed by the Council are carefully targeted, and second, to further develop fair and clear procedures. This reflects a conviction that the implementation of sanctions must respect the rule of law. Austria strongly believes that the UN must practice what it preaches. The rule of law must apply not only outside of the UN, but also within the UN. In particular, in situations in which actions by the UN and its organs directly affect individual rights. The UN in general and the Security Council in particular should lead the way in this regard. As former chair of the Al-Qaeda Taliban Sanctions Committee, during its term as a non-permanent member of the Council in 2009 and 2010, Austria worked hard to improve the procedures under the 1267 sanctions regime in terms of due process. Security Council Resolution 1904 of December 17, 2009, which established the Office of the Ombudsperson, was a significant step forward in improving the fairness and transparency of the Al-Qaeda sanctions regime and enhanced the rule of law in the implementation of the Council decisions. We therefore reiterate our call to the Security Council to continue on that path and extend the mandate of the Ombudsperson, which has been further improved in the meantime, also to other sanctions regimes. Mr. President, in concluding, I would like to emphasize that the Council's working methods have remarkably developed over the years. Yet, they will remain work in progress, as the work of the Security Council constantly has to adapt to new challenges and changed circumstances, so should the Council's working methods. Engagement with TCCs and respect for the rule of law are thereby key to make the Council's work more effective and legitimate. Thank you very much.
I thank the representative of Austria for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Spain.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente. Le agradecemos que haya convocado este debate abierto sobre los métodos de trabajo del Consejo de Seguridad. Como bien señala su nota de concepto, que orienta muy acertadamente este debate, este es un asunto de gran importancia y de interés común. El Consejo de Seguridad es un órgano crucial para el mantenimiento de la paz y la seguridad internacionales y está en el interés de todos que el Consejo cumpla con eficacia las funciones que le atribuye la Carta. Nos felicitamos porque los miembros del Consejo de Seguridad sean conscientes de ello, tal como lo refleja la nota del presidente del 28 de agosto de 2013. ¿Qué duda cabe de que la autoridad y la influencia del Consejo de Seguridad se vieran incrementadas cuanto mayores sean las posibilidades de implicación en sus trabajos del conjunto de los miembros de la organización. España considera que su objetivo debe ser el norte y la guía que orienten la actividad del Consejo de Seguridad. En los últimos años se ha avanzado en el incremento de la permeabilidad del Consejo de Seguridad. Las aportaciones de países como Portugal, Bélgica, Japón, Eslovaquia, Panamá, Bosnia-Herzegovina y la India han sido de gran ayuda. También merece especial atención el papel de Costa Rica, Jordania y Liechtenstein a la hora de incentivar esta reflexión colectiva. Y no quiero dejar pasar la ocasión sin felicitar también a la República Argentina y a su representante permanente, doña Cristina Perceval, por el modo en que viene dirigiendo el grupo de trabajo sobre documentación y procedimientos de trabajo. Señor presidente, los miembros del Consejo se comprometieron a aplicar las medidas contenidas en la nota 2010/507. Como hemos dicho en ocasiones anteriores, estamos razonablemente satisfechos con el modo en que se aplican, por ejemplo, las medidas relativas al programa de trabajo mensual del Consejo, como la publicación del pronóstico preliminar, las reuniones informativas de la presidencia entrante o las actualizaciones periódicas del programa de trabajo. Somos perfectamente conscientes de que los expedientes de mayor dificultad deben ser abordados en ocasiones y por motivos de urgencia en sesiones anunciadas con muy escasa antelación. El Consejo de Seguridad debe poder reaccionar con inmediatez a los desafíos más urgentes a la paz y a la seguridad internacionales. Este año hemos asistido a una actualización de la práctica de la sesión de cierre de los trabajos mensuales del Consejo, denominada en inglés Wrap-up Session. Como señaló en una ocasión un distinguido representante de un miembro de este Consejo, estas sesiones son como un jano bifronte que fija su atención crítica en el pasado reciente para extraer lecciones de cara al futuro inmediato. Felicitamos a Pakistán por la reintroducción de esa práctica, casi inédita hasta este año, y hacemos extensiva nuestra felicitación a Corea del Sur, a Ruanda, a Togo, al Reino Unido y a la Argentina por haberla proseguido. La presidencia australiana, al coincidir con el mes de septiembre, optó por la fórmula de una reunión interactiva de cierre con representantes de países no miembros del Consejo de Seguridad. Nos parece también una opción válida para responder a la necesidad creciente de transparencia. España apoya la práctica de escuadriñar el horizonte, las sesiones de Horizon Scanning, de la mano de la Secretaría. Y permítanme sugerir que esas sesiones, al comienzo de una presidencia, del ejercicio de una presidencia, se abran convenientemente al resto de los Estados miembros de la organización. Señor presidente, las medidas apuntadas en su nota de concepto cuentan con nuestro respaldo de principio. Me permito con todo subrayar, como de especial interés, continuar impulsando las siguientes medidas. Incrementar el número de reuniones públicas. Reforzar la transparencia y la inclusividad de los procesos de negociación en el seno del Consejo. Aumentar la interacción del Consejo con los países contribuyentes de tropas y de policía. Y dedicar más tiempo a la interacción y al diálogo con las organizaciones regionales y subregionales. El objetivo último, como he señalado, es aumentar la transparencia de los trabajos del Consejo de Seguridad. Las actuaciones de dicho órgano necesitan seguir unos procedimientos que contribuyan a reforzar su autoridad como condición sine qua non para ganarse el apoyo del conjunto de la comunidad internacional. Los métodos de trabajo deben, por tanto, servir a ese fin superior, pues de lo contrario, la autoridad política y moral de este Consejo se resquebrajaría. Señor presidente, concluyo con un apunte sobre una cuestión sensible que está relacionada con el tema del debate de hoy. Me refiero al uso del veto. España es partidaria de limitarlo. En concreto, animamos a que se introduzca la práctica de explicar las razones por las que se usa cuando eso se produzca. Más importante aún, abogamos por la renuncia a su empleo en los casos de crímenes graves como el genocidio, la limpieza étnica, los crímenes de guerra y los de lesa humanidad. En consecuencia, saludamos la llamada de Francia a desarrollar un código de conducta que siente las bases para llevar a la práctica este objetivo. Pueden contar con nuestra mejor disposición para contribuir a plasmar el mismo. Muchísimas gracias.
I thank the representative of Spain for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Mr. President, I have the pleasure to speak today on behalf of the Non-Aligned Movement. And at the outset, I would like to convey the movement's appreciation to Azerbaijan's presidency of the Security Council for having convened this important open debate to discuss the progress achieved in the implementation of the measures set out in the note by the President of the Security Council of 26 July 2010, S/2010/507. This open debate would help us to direct the discussions towards enhancing the transparency and efficiency of the work of the Security Council and to meet the expectations of the general membership of the United Nations. Mr. President, this debate is the sixth debate on the working methods of the Council. The increased frequency in recent years to have this debate is indicative of the fact that the member states attach great importance to this matter. The same interest has been shown by the Non-Aligned Movement. NAM has always emphasized the necessity for the Council to increase transparency and make a balanced approach in interaction with non-members. Some positive steps have been taken by the Security Council, pursuant to Note 507. The movement appreciates the work leading to the note by the President of the Security Council, contained in document S/2013/515, on enhancing efficiency and transparency as well as on the interaction and dialogue with non-members of the Security Council, and emphasize the importance of the efforts of Ambassador Maria Cristina Percival, the chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions, which are eloquently elaborated in her briefing today. The points listed in the note are very much close to the position that the NAM has been taking on the working methods of the Security Council. NAM urges all states to uphold the primacy of and full respect for the provisions of the UN Charter pertaining to the functions and powers of the Assembly and calls on the Presidents of the General Assembly, the ECOSOC, and the Security Council to conduct regular discussions and coordination among themselves regarding the agenda and program of work of the respective principal organs in order to establish increased coherence and complementarily among these organs in a mutually reinforcing manner, respectful of each other's mandates and with a view to generating a mutual understanding among them. We believe that the Security Council should avoid resorting to Chapter 7 of the Charter as a tool for addressing issues that do not necessarily pose a threat to international peace and security. Rather, it should fully utilize such means to settle disputes and prevent conflict as negotiation, mediation, arbitration, and judicial decisions and other provisions of relevant chapters of the UN Charter, including chapters 6 and 7 before invoking chapters 6 and 8 before invoking chapter 7, which should be a measure of last resort. Non-Aligned Movement welcomes the use of wrap-up meetings and informal briefing sessions pursuant to the note by the President contained in document S/2012/922. However, NAM believes that the issues discussed in the wrap-up session should be limited to the items and issues discussed at the Security Council within the program of work of each month. It also welcomes the commitments reiterated by Council members to continue this practice and encourages all efforts to sustain and improve these sessions, which are of great relevance to the broader membership. Regarding the reporting practice by the Council, we welcome the informal meetings between the Presidency of the Council and UN Member States on the preparation of the annual report of the Security Council, which can help enhance the quality of such reports. it calls on the Security Council to submit a more explanatory, comprehensive, and analytical annual report to the General Assembly, assessing the work of the Council, including such cases in which the Council has failed to act and the views expressed by its members during the consideration of the agenda items under its consideration. Further, NAM calls on the Security Council to elaborate the circumstances under which it adopts different outcomes, whether resolutions, presidential statements, press statements, or elements to the press. It calls on the Security Council, pursuant to Article 15.1 and 24.3 of the UN Charter, to submit special reports for the consideration of the General Assembly. It further calls on the Security Council to ensure that its monthly assessments are comprehensive and analytical and issued in a timely fashion. The General Assembly may consider proposing parameters for the elaboration of such assessments. NAM welcomes the increase in the number of public meetings and expects that the quantitative increase of those meetings shall be associated with a qualitative improvement by providing more opportunities and meaningful exchanges of views to take into account the contributions of non-council members, particularly those whose interests are or may be directly affected by possible decisions of the Council. Furthermore, the concerned non-council members should be given the opportunity to express its views and position on such briefings. The general observations and positions formulated by numerous non-members of the Security Council during its debate or open debates should be properly taken into account in any possible outcome of those debates and should also be reflected in the Council's annual report. NAM appreciates the convening of area formula meetings as a practical way to ensure more interaction with non-council members and regional and sub-regional organizations. We welcome the commitments to maintain regular communication with the Peacebuilding Commission and more effective use of public meetings to invite the chair of the Peacebuilding Commission and the chairs of the country-specific configurations of the Commission to be invited, as appropriate, to participate in formal council meetings and informal interactive dialogues. NAM also welcomes measures taken to improve consultations with troop-contributing countries and police-contributing countries as part of the effort to plan and execute peacekeeping operations more effectively and with clearer mandates, and expects the finalization of a presidential note on the enhancement of consultation with troop and police-contributing countries. The Working Group on Peacekeeping Operations should continue to involve TCCs frequently and intensively in its deliberations through sustained, regular, and timely interaction, and appreciates the meetings of the Working Group held during this year. The movement believes that more steps are needed, along with the necessary political will of member states, particularly the permanent members of the Council, to improve the working methods of the Council through both the General Assembly and the Security Council. Transparency, accountability, and consistency are key elements that the Security Council should observe in all its activities, approaches, and procedures. Every effort should be made to render the Council more democratic, representative, and accountable. In this way, the Security Council can deal more efficiently and effectively with its mounting workload and with the multiplicity and complexity of the issues on its agenda in maintaining international peace and security. Non-aligned movement stands ready to contribute to the achievement of these goals. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of the Islamic Republic of Iran for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Italy.
Mr. President, I wish to join previous speakers in thanking you for convening this open debate on the working methods of the Security Council. Today, more than ever, the international community needs and expects an efficient and effective Security Council that is able to take prompt action in accordance with its mandate for the maintenance of international peace and security. At a time of growing frustration and concern within the international community over the persistence of violent crises, improved working methods are crucial to enhancing the Security Council's ability to carry out its primary responsibility of maintaining international peace and security. Transparency, openness, efficiency, and interaction with the rest of the members are needed to foster a sense of ownership of the Council by the international community and to avoid the misperception that the Council is an autonomous body. We appreciate the improvements that have already been made to adapt the Council's working methods to changing realities. I'm referring, for instance, to the increasing number of open debates, the organization of informal briefing sessions by Security Council presidents on their monthly work, and the strengthened cooperation with regional organizations. As an EU member state, Italy praises the attention dedicated to cooperation between the EU and the United Nations. But more needs to be done to enhance transparency on access to and participation in the Council. Some ideas for further improvements have already been mentioned in the concept paper circulated before the meeting, for which I thank you, Mr. President, and others have been brought up today by colleagues. I wish to draw your attention to two commitments taken by the President of the Security Council, namely, maintaining regular communication with the PBC and the chairs of its own country specific configurations, improving consultations with TCCs and PCCs. We support the involvement of the PBC and the chairs of the country-specific configurations in the formal meetings of the Council. The PBC has the potential to play an increasingly supportive role in the post-conflict processes of stabilization and has a capacity of analysis of peace-building dynamics that is useful to the Security Council. It is equally important to strengthen the Council's consultation with the TCCs and PCCs, especially when mission mandates are being defined or renewed. A perspective from the field is fundamental, especially from those who are being called on to carry out the mandate. Italy, a major contributor of troops to UN peacekeeping, will lend its efforts, as always, to giving TCCs a greater role. We therefore welcome the commitments undertaken in the note by the President of the Security Council issued yesterday, and we thank the permanent representative of Argentina, Ambassador Maria Cristina Perceval, for her efforts as chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions. Mr. President, improving working methods is part of the Security Council reform process. It's one of the five pillars of the intergovernmental negotiations on reform. As the General Assembly agreed by consensus in its decision 62557, we have pledged to deal with these five pillars at the same time to achieve a comprehensive reform. We remain convinced that hurried and divisive piecemeal approaches must be avoided. There is no alternative to a comprehensive agreement. Partial solutions will not lead to a genuine reform of the Security Council. Only a comprehensive solution, including working methods, can lead to a reform shared by the world membership that will yield a Security Council better able to cope with the growing challenges of today. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Italy for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Singapore.
Mr. President, I thank Azerbaijan for convening this meeting and for its concept note on today's open debate. I also thank Argentina for its work as the chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions. Improvements in the working methods of the Security Council, especially in its transparency towards the General Assembly, are important to small states like Singapore. The reality is that small states are unlikely to obtain a permanent seat in whatever new configuration that might emerge from overall reform of the Council in the future. In the current situation, it is also increasingly challenging for small states to be elected as non-permanent Council members. Campaigns for contested and uncontested seats on the Council are becoming financially exorbitant and resource intensive. Out of the 70 UN member states that have never been elected as members of the Security Council, 50 are members of the Forum of Small States. Those small states that are elected to the Council also face constraints. Most small states can only be elected to the Council once every several decades, given resource constraints. By the time they have mastered Security Council processes, their term is over and the next generation has to start from scratch when they are elected. Nevertheless, many small states continue to experience firsthand the consequences of the failure to maintain international peace and security. The work of the Council remains of profound importance to us. Accordingly, reforms that increase the transparency of the work and deliberations of the Council are critical to small states. Mr. President, we welcome the Council's efforts to improve its practices as outlined in the series of presidential notes adopted since 2010. These include convening more open debates, more ARIA formula meetings, consultations with troop contributing countries, and monthly briefings on the Security Council's program of work. These initiatives have helped to improve the transparency of the Council with regard to the General Assembly. However, the implementation of the recommendations and proposals contained in the five presidential notes has been limited, slow, and varies from presidency to presidency of the Council. For example, notwithstanding their substantive briefings, which we support, we also believe that non-members should have more opportunities to provide inputs to the work of the Council's subsidiary bodies. Furthermore, some of these initiatives have been implemented with an eye to the letter rather than the spirit of the proposals. Many of the briefings and reports are largely descriptive of the Council's work. While we thank the various presidencies for convening wrap-up sessions, we also note that these sessions have not been consistently held, and they tend to comprise of set statements by Security Council members with general descriptions of meetings held and resolutions adopted. In our view, the Council could do more to increase interactivity, deepen the level of analysis, and foster greater critical reflection in its engagement with the General Assembly. A good place to start would be the forthcoming annual report of the Council. Instead of simply being a descriptive and voluminous compilation of data and information on the work of the Council, we hope that this year's report will be more concise and analytical. For example, it could include an evaluation of the effectiveness of the Council's decisions as well as lessons learned. Mr. President, last month we welcomed the unanimous adoption of Security Council Resolution 2118 on the elimination of chemical weapons in Syria. But let us not forget the deep unhappiness in the UN membership and the wider world at the impotency of the Council prior to that in the face of the violence and atrocities in the crisis in Syria. The use of the veto is the crux of the problem. Singapore therefore reiterates its request for the permanent members of the Council to consider refraining from using their vetoes to block Council action aimed at preventing or ending genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity. In this regard, we would be interested to learn of the reactions of the other permanent members to the proposals by the French President on a code of conduct on the use of the veto. Furthermore, we urge the permanent members to explain to the General Assembly their reasons for using the veto or intention to do so, in particular with regard to its consistency with the purposes and principles of the UN Charter and international law. This is particularly pertinent at times when the veto is used to block action intended to maintain international peace and security. Mr. President, the Security Council has been given the primary responsibility by the members of the UN to maintain international peace and security, and special privileges have been given to the permanent members to carry out this mandate. However, the Council does not discharge its responsibility in isolation and needs the support of UN member states, notably for funding and the provision of troops for the Council's mandated operations. Given this relationship between the Council and the wider UN membership, it is incumbent upon the Council to increase the transparency of its engagement with the General Assembly. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Singapore for her statement. I now give the floor to the representative of South Africa.
Mr. President, my delegation extends its gratitude to you for convening this important debate on Security Council working methods and for developing the concept note for this debate. We thank you for your constructive approach in maintaining a practice which we hope becomes a permanent feature of this important organ of the United Nations that is yet to reform. We also thank Argentina as the chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural matters for continuing to assess the implementation of Presidential Note S/2010/507. South Africa further aligns itself with the statement delivered by the distinguished representative of the Islamic Republic of Iran on behalf of the Non-Aligned Movement and wishes to add the following remarks in our national capacity. Like other delegations, we acknowledge the progress made by the Security Council over the past few years in improving the working methods and attempting to make the Council more transparent and inclusive in its working methods. In both our recently completed terms as an elected member of the Security Council, we consistently endeavor to encourage the Council to engage more regularly with the broader UN membership and regional organizations when addressing its various agenda items. We are proud of our modest achievements in this regard, which includes regularizing annual engagements between the UN Security Council and the African Union Peace and Security Council, and involving broader UN membership and non-state entities, having served as the chair of the Ad Hoc Working Group on Conflict Prevention and Resolution in the discussion of the working group. Mr. President, but more needs to be done, and we believe that the various proposals and recommendations made today and at subsequent debates of this nature are intended as contributions of a constructive nature to enhance effectiveness, transparency, inclusiveness, and credibility of the Security Council. The adoption by the Council in August of Note S/2013/515 is a step in maintaining this momentum, with the commitment made by Council members to the 10 steps towards greater transparency outlined in that document. In addition to those commitments, all of which South Africa strongly supports, we wish to add additional recommendations that can further contribute to the more effective functioning of the Council in the execution of its mandates. Some of these are to maintain the practice of field visits and even mini-missions by the Council as well as its subsidiary bodies to enhance the Council's understanding of the situation on the ground and to contribute towards informed decision-making. A wider spread amongst the elected members of country-specific files that otherwise are managed as an exclusive domain or prerogative of some permanent members. This exclusive approach contributes to an inflexible approach to dealing with Council resolutions, which are, in fact, a mandate for all of those who serve on the Council. Engagement with regional organizations should be based on the principle of subsidiarity and in a cohesive and organized manner. We also recommend that such engagements be acknowledged and included in the Secretary General's reports. And we also suggest a longer lead time on all SG reports that are provided to Council members prior to informal consultations, especially at the time of mandate renewals. Mr. President, predictability in the working methods of the Security Council is integral to ensuring that there is consistency in how different matters are handled. It has been the unfortunate reality in some cases that the Council was perceived as being selective in addressing certain issues which we ascribe to inconsistency that is born out of the provisional nature of the Council's rules of procedure. Inextricably linked to this is the notion of some members of the Council approaching matters on the agenda of the Council on the basis of narrow national interests, writ large against the Council's primary mandate of the maintenance of international peace and security. This is reflected in the inability of the Security Council to resolve certain conflicts, Syria being a particular case in most recent case in point. This unfortunate reality has further resulted in many Security Council decisions being either ignored or flagrantly undermined. The situations of Palestine and Western Sahara are but two clear examples of how detrimental narrow national interests can be in frustrating the lofty objective of maintaining international peace and security. In the case of Western Sahara, we have witnessed how through selective small groups, some of whom are not even council members, have a greater influence over the text of resolutions than the council members themselves. The subsequent weakening of the text on this annual resolution has resulted in the Security Council not being able to implement its own decisions. We have also witnessed a similar unfortunate approach in dealing with the situation in the Middle East, Palestine in particular. The Council has repeatedly failed to speak in unison on this matter, thereby not being able to issue even a media statement when the two parties to the conflict resumed direct talks earlier this year. The State of Palestine has since September 2000 written approximately 473 letters to the President of the Security Council, the President of the General Assembly, and the Secretary General regarding the ongoing crisis in the occupied Palestinian territories, including East Jerusalem. The more recent of these letters was submitted in 17 October of this year. In the absence of any significant decision by this Council, be it in the form of a resolution, presidential statement, or press statement over the last 2 years, it is our consequent assessment that the Security Council has unfortunately not found it appropriate to seriously reflect on the content of these hundreds of written testimonies by one party to the conflict, namely the State of Palestine, that brings to the fore numerous violations of international law and obligations of state parties to resolutions passed by this august body that blatantly go unheeded. Such approaches, Mr. President, unfortunately brings into question the credibility of the Council in dispensing with its clear mandate. The debate on working methods is but an important part of the greater whole of the debate on Council reform. We therefore remain convinced that greater legitimacy and effectiveness, including in its working methods, will prevail when the Council becomes more representative. I thank you, Mr. President.
Of South Africa for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Japan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to start by expressing my gratitude to you, Mr. President, for your initiative of holding this debate on working methods of the Security Council. Mr. President, we believe that Japan has been a leading contributor to improvements of Security Council working methods. When Japan was in the Council, we, as president of the Informal Working Group on Documentation and Other Procedural Questions, issued the Presidential Note 507 in 2006, as well as its revision in 2010. We also issued a Working Methods Handbook, including the Presidential Note and Provisional Rules of the Security Council. Based on our proposals, the Security Council's interaction with troop and police contributing countries has increased. We are proud of our country's contribution to enhancing the transparency of the Council's working methods through such work. We are pleased that discussions on the improvement of working methods have continued to be sought under the leadership of the subsequent president of informal working group, such as Bosnia-Herzegovina, Portugal, and Argentina. We can see progress in the efficiency of working methods, such as reviewing mandate cycles of the relevant Security Council resolutions. In this context, I would like to extend my appreciation to Ambassador Maria Cristina Percival, Permanent Representative Argentina and Chairperson of the Working Group on Documentation and Other Procedural Questions, for her contribution, including her work on the presidential note issued this August. However, are these achievements enough? Are the Security Council working methods transparent enough? I'm afraid that the answer is not quite. For instance, many consultations in the Council are still being held in a closed and exclusive format. We even hear the complaints from elected members of the Council that they were not involved in the discussion on the situation in Syria, which were conducted among permanent members only. In this regard, I highly appreciate your initiative, Mr. President, for taking up ensuring a transparent and inclusive process of negotiation within the Council as topic of today's debate. While we remain strongly committed to the improvement of working methods, there are unfortunately limits to what we can do from outside the Security Council to ensure a transparent process of internal negotiations in the Council. In this regard, I sincerely hope the members of the Security Council, especially those with permanent seats, do more for enhancing its transparency. Mr. President, Article 25 of the UN Charter stipulates that we, the member states, agree to accept decision by the Security Council. Yet, this article alone does not necessarily guarantee the legitimacy of decisions by the Security Council. And to enhance its legitimacy of the Security Council, improving the Council's working method is necessary, but not sufficient. It is indispensable for us, the members of the UN, to accelerate the negotiations towards Security Council reform and make concrete outcomes in this matter. The Security Council, as is currently composed, does not reflect the geopolitical realities of this century and does not function as designed. The situation in Syria clearly demonstrates this dysfunction of the Security Council. Mr. President, let us recall our leaders' commitment at the World Summit in 2005 in its outcome document to realize early reform of the Security Council. In this regard, I appreciate the recent initiative by His Excellency Dr. John Ash, the current President of the General Assembly, to promote proactively the reform process, as he clearly stated in his letter of 22nd October. By 2015, when the United Nations marks its 70th anniversary, concrete outcomes in Security Council reform will need to be made. I invite all member states to spare no effort toward this goal. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Japan for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Germany.
Thank you, Mr. President. As the issue on the agenda of the Security Council become increasingly complex, so do its day-to-day work and decision-making processes. Other UN organs and institutions, regional organizations, non-governmental organizations, they all make important contributions to the work of the Council and the fulfillment of its charter-mandated role. The media and wider public are also important, particularly in times of the Internet and Twitter. All this should be seen as an opportunity, not as a burden to the Council. This requires enhanced transparency and efficiency of the Council, as well as interaction with a wider UN membership and relevant stakeholders. The Council has come a long way, most recently with the adoption of Presidential Note 515. The note contains many useful aspects, including on the increased use of the Arria formula, closer involvement of the Peacebuilding Commission, and the use of wrap-up sessions by the Presidency. We encourage the members of the Council, especially the permanent members, to ensure that the commitment made in Note 515 also translate into action. Other issues remain to be addressed. As this is an ongoing process, improvements must be sought on multiple fronts. In this context, we encourage the member states of the Accountability, Coherence, and Transparency Group to continue their important efforts in this regard. Mr. President, we also very much appreciate the proposal made by the French Foreign Minister Fabius to refrain from using the veto in situations of atrocity crimes. During Germany's recent Council membership, I myself witnessed the deadlock in the Council caused by three double vetoes, and more importantly, the terrible consequences they had for the Syrian people. The French proposal is therefore an important initiative by a permanent member of the Council and should contribute to fostering the overall discussion of the reform of the Security Council.
Mr. President, as important as the improvement of the Council's working methods may be, only a comprehensive structural reform will enable the Council to more effectively tackle the challenges of today's world. Such a reform is long overdue. As the United Nations nears its 70th General Assembly in 2015, the time has come for action. We thus welcome the initiative taken by the President of the General Assembly, Ambassador John Ash, to task an advisory group with the drafting of a negotiating text and adequately reflect current positions on council reform and provides options on the way forward. We hope that such a text will finally enable member states to engage in real give and take negotiations. Germany stands ready to engage constructively in these negotiations. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Germany for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Ireland.
Mr. President, Ireland aligns itself with the comprehensive statement delivered by my Swiss colleague on behalf of the 22-member ACT Group, a cross-regional grouping of member states established earlier this year to press for a more accountable, coherent, and transparent Security Council. Ireland is pleased to be a founding member of ACT. We care deeply about the UN and how each of its institutions works. And we believe that there is abundant evidence for the proposition that the Security Council's working methods are in urgent need of improvement. Among the points to which Ireland attaches particular importance in the statement delivered on behalf of ACT are, firstly, the welcome we give to a proposal by France that the five permanent members of the Security Council could voluntarily regulate their right to exercise their veto in the case of mass atrocity crimes. And secondly, the appreciation we express for the greater level of interactivity with the Council recently, which has been achieved through, for instance, horizon scanning sessions. It is clearly desirable that briefings take place regularly on situations where populations are at risk of mass atrocities. The ACT Group was established in May to develop proposals for concrete action to improve the Council's working methods and to build momentum around this agenda. All UN member states have a legitimate stake in how the Security Council is run. The Council was established, after all, to ensure prompt and effective action on behalf of the full membership. We hope that we can persuade the UN membership as a whole of the need for urgent action to reform how the Council operates and how it communicates and interacts with the wider membership. We want to work constructively and cooperatively with the members of the Security Council in encouraging a more businesslike and responsive approach. We could accurately be termed, and have been termed, a group of friends of the Security Council, supportive but also frank and direct, the hallmarks of true friendship. And just to be clear, we are taking no position on issues relating to the reform, composition or enlargement of the Council. Improvements in relation to the Council's working methods are already underway, and we readily recognise these. We welcome Presidential Note 515 of 28th of August on transparency and improvement of the Council's dialogue with non-Council members and bodies. As a co-lead with Uruguay on the peacekeeping dimension of the Council's work, Ireland warmly welcomes the commitments contained in Presidential Note 630 on enhancement of consultations with TCCs and PCCs. The challenge now is for Council members to ensure the full and consistent implementation of this Presidential Note and other preceding resolutions, statements and notes on peacekeeping working methods. Ireland was pleased to respond positively this year when we were asked to supply military personnel to reinforce and stabilise the politically sensitive UNDOF mission. As a significant peacekeeping troop contributor, we are strongly of the view that a more dynamic, interactive and meaningful partnership between Council members, the Secretariat and TCCs, PCCs
will be of benefit to all parties. On peacekeeping and across a broad range of topics, the ACT Group will continue to work for constructive and cooperative engagement with Council members on practical steps which would improve the way in which the Council does its business. We commend Azerbaijan, finally, for organizing today's debate as an important staging post in this process. Thank you.
I thank the representative of Ireland for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Maldives.
Mr. President, thank you for giving me the floor. On behalf of the Republic of Maldives, let me thank the Azerbaijan presidency for convening this open debate on the working methods of this council. Let me further thank Ambassador Maria Cristina Percival of Argentina for her briefing in her capacity as chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions. The Maldives thanks the presidency for its note of 28th of August and welcomes continued efforts at ensuring transparency and coherence within the council's working methods. Mr. President, the Maldives has the honor of associating itself with the statement made by Switzerland in its capacity as coordinator of ACT, Accountability, Coherence, and Transparency, a cross-regional group of 22 member states. According to Article 24 of the UN Charter, the Council acts on behalf of all member states. This universal representation needs to be reflected in fully transparent decisions and a process that leaves no room for secrecy. It is only right that all member states have a clear understanding of the present work of the Council, deviating from past practice. Business as usual will leave us with the usual unsatisfying results. Mr. President, there is a necessity for all member states to be better informed with regards to the Council's deliberations. As is with the case of the General Assembly, the Maldives believes that draft documents of the Security Council should be made available to all member states in a more timely and appropriate manner. Further, in line with the UN Charter, we would welcome more frequent interactive dialogues and presentations of special reports. Mr. President, while we welcome informational briefings at the beginning of each presidency, the Maldives calls on Council members to critically and proactively reflect on the month's work in the form of wrap-up sessions. Through honest reflection, we hope to see a more equal distribution of work between the permanent and non-permanent members of the Council. This prevailing disparity remains a fundamental flaw of the Council, which is constantly being illustrated. We have seen it when negotiations are limited to only permanent members, and we have seen it when briefings have been limited similarly as well. The decision of the Secretary General to brief only the permanent members with regards to the situation in Syria recently saw this failing extend to the Secretariat and is deeply disappointing. Mr. President, only reform of the Council structure will truly make this body more representative, transparent, efficient, and legitimate. In the meantime, we welcome the proposal made by France suggesting that the permanent members themselves could voluntarily forego their right to exercise veto in reaction to mass atrocity crimes. We believe that this pledge would contribute to a more effective crisis response and stronger implementation of the Council's own agenda, promoting the establishment and maintenance of international peace and security. We therefore call for an open and engaging dialogue between ACT and all permanent members of the Council and would encourage other permanent members to further explore the proposal made by France. Views of member states have to be taken into account in the decision-making process of the Security Council. The use of the veto right or the intention to do so should have to be explained, in particular with regard to its consistency with the purposes and principles of the United Nations Charter and applicable international law. This would lead to a much higher transparency of the decision-making process and would make morally ambiguous and legally inadmissible arguments less likely. Mr. President, the Maldives sincerely hopes that both permanent and non-permanent members commit, not only in word but also in action, to practices that conform to higher standards of accountability, coherence, and transparency. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Maldives for his statement. I shall now make a statement in my capacity as the representative of Azerbaijan. We commend permanent representative of Argentina, Ambassador Maria Cristina Perceval, for her dedicated efforts as chair of the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions. We also commend former chairs of the working group for their valuable contribution. We acknowledge the role that the working group is playing to advance ways to further enhance the transparency, accountability, and overall efficiency of the Council's work. The Security Council working methods continue to raise great interest among the broader membership. Today's open debate is yet another illustration of priority attention given by member states to that topic. Almost 1 year has passed since the Council's last open debate, which raised a number of important issues requiring more efforts and resolute steps for their solution. Meanwhile, the Council has continued to further implement Presidential Note 507 and agreed on several measures to enhance its efficiency and transparency, in addition to its existing interaction and dialogue with non-Council members and other bodies, as eventually reproduced in the two presidential notes adopted earlier this year. More attention has been paid to achieving a wider participation of Council members in the decision-making process by providing the opportunities to hear the views of the broader membership on the working methods of the Council. The Council has also discussed ways and means to enhance its interactivity with non-Council member states and promote its responsiveness to their inputs and contributions, as well as to improve Security Council communication with the Peacebuilding Commission, TCCs, PCCs, and relevant regional and sub-regional organizations. Despite the slight decrease in the number of public meetings of the Council in comparison with the same period of the last year, the trend of holding more public meetings, including in the form of briefings and debates, is encouraging. At the same time, the quality of such public meetings mostly depends on the Council's readiness to take into consideration the views and contributions of non-Council member states, including through the reflection of their proposals and inputs in the outcomes of public meetings. The holding of annual open debates on the topic under consideration is a good opportunity to further encourage the Council's efforts towards improving its working methods, review the implementation of Note 507 and subsequent documents adopted by the Council, identify positive trends and practices by proposing new ideas on enhancing transparency and efficiency of the Council. A significant number of proposals were submitted and discussed in previous years in the course of both open debates and deliberations within the informal working group on documentation and other procedural questions. Those discussions are illustrative as to the remaining obstacles and the need for more efforts towards addressing existing differences. We hope that the Council will initiate a process of genuine reforms of the Security Council to meet the expectations of the international community. It should be noted that the reluctance and sometimes even unwillingness to change stereotypes by preserving existing practices complicate the process of reaching agreement on matters of importance to the United Nations membership. Another important issue that requires additional efforts is the need for the Council's review of the implementation of its own decisions. It is unacceptable when resolutions of the Security Council containing imperative demands for concrete action are deliberately ignored or interpreted in a way to avoid their implementation. Needless to say, the silence of the Security Council concerning the apparent disregard of its resolutions on
issues pertaining to international and regional peace and security, and attempts to question their validity are dangerous and cannot constitute an accepted practice of the Council's working methods. In concluding, I would like to thank all Member States for their active participation in today's debate and for their valuable ideas and recommendations that constitute as an essential food for thought and undoubtedly deserve careful consideration with a view to enhancing the transparency, effectiveness, and interactivity of the Security Council. I resume my function as President of the Council. There are no more names inscribed on the list of speakers, and the Security Council has thus concluded the present stage of its consideration of the item on its agenda. The meeting is adjourned.